JB.
Cameron.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Walk On College Football Podcast here at Shooting the Sports Ish. Contentious opening. I feel like it needed to happen. This is the week. JB, this is what it's all about. Before we get into that, not a sponsor, but I'm wearing the shirt, so I want to shout them out anyways. M3S3apparel.com. They got dope stuff over there. Men make moves, suckers stand still. They got good stuff over there. Dope hoodies, dope tanks, dope shirts. What up? Really big in the battle rap community, so pretty cool. They're doing good stuff. Anyways, I kind of hate you this week, right? I feel like that's where...
Right back at you, pal.
Yeah, I feel like that's it. I feel like it's like it's healthy, though, you know? Like, you and I both understand that until Saturday or roughly kickoffs at 3:30, 7:45, 7:30.
It's just the way it's got to be.
It's just the way – that's just the way it is, some would say. And others would say things will never be the same, but not us, because things will end up going back to being the same. It's just right now, just kind of got to hate you.
Like, not even a little bit. Like, not even, like, an IO, not even a morsel bit of liking you, like.
Yeah.
No.
None. Yeah. Well, before we get into all the contention, which is definitely coming, let's talk about last weekend. I think you guys had a game. I'm not really sure.
I mean, there was four quarters of football played. We showed up.
Did.
Missouri, not so much.
Yeah. It's tough knowing that Missouri's not really a good football team anyways. Not that that's a shocking bit of information for anybody. But no. When a not good football team loses their starting quarterback before playing the best team in the country, you just assume it's going to get worse. And honestly, it's like if Bazilak was there, would they have scored 9 instead of 6? Sure.
I mean...
But Bazilak also gets a little crazy with the ball. So honestly, it could have been like 50-3 instead of 43-6. It wasn't going to matter, but it just sucks knowing they didn't have their starting quarterback. Like, that just had to make it all worse, right?
I mean, that's their problem.
Yeah, I'm with you. How many quarters of that football game did you actually watch?
None.
Damn.
I was like, I'm gonna go out on a hike, and I did that, and I kept track of it on my phone, and that was the extent of my interaction with the game last week. I saw highlights afterwards, but I'm like, oh, I'm not even gonna bother. It's Missouri.
Yeah, it's JT Missouri. Daniels played, right? First time he's played in a while, so it was fun.
Well, he got some snaps in there.
He did. Stetson Bennett, who, okay, we got to talk about this. We got to talk about it now because when we get to segment 3, it's going to be contention, and I'm going to go against everything I'm about to say now. So we got to talk about it now.
Okay.
I got into an argument with somebody who said that Georgia can't win a title with Stetson Bennett. Now, first off, in my opinion, that is one of the dumbest statements I've heard this season, in my opinion. Now, I think most people will agree that if given a healthy Stetson Bennett or a healthy JT Daniels, they'd probably go with JT. And yeah, I don't think that's a crazy take at all. And I think one of the guys was like, well, JT's better. I'm like, I'm there. I'm there with you. I think JT is better than Stetson.
Okay, JT's brother.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
that's easy. That's easy.
Exactly. And he was like, well, I mean, they can't win with Stetson. I was like, I think they can. He said, well, JT's better. I said, I'm not disagreeing with you there. I think Georgia can win a title with either one. This guy thought they could only win it with JT because Stetson's not very good. But if you have a starting quarterback who can go 14 of 20 for 250 yards and two touchdowns every game with that defense behind him, I don't know how there's an argument. I just don't know. And the big thing with Georgia this year and what fans are starting to cling to, rightfully so, because fans of other teams always want to try and find the weakness in the teams that are better than them. I get it. We all do it. Nothing wrong with that. But the thing that people are going with Georgia, and you've heard it the whole year, I'm sure as well, is, well, if you, you know, if you take away their offense, it's like, all right, outside of Clemson, which was the first game of the year, and Clemson statistically still has a very good defense, which says a lot about how much their offense sucks this year.
Yeah, but that's their that's their problem. It's the purely it's offense. Fair.
But outside of Clemson, give me another defense that can take away Georgia's offense. And by the way, if Georgia and Clemson played this weekend, Georgia'd win by 30. So it's like, okay, it was the first week of the season. It was the first week of the season, new year, everything, all that kind of stuff, like whatever. But give me another defense right now that has the remote possibility of taking away Georgia's offense to a degree where you don't think Stetson can win a title. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the conversation kind of ended abruptly after that because I kind of think I won. I'm gonna claim it as a win. I don't really know if it's gonna work out or not for me, but I'm claiming that as a W.
Sounds like a win to me.
It does. And that was the other thing is like, I just don't understand how people can't give Stetson the credit that he deserves this year.
You know, honestly, I honestly couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you either. There are deficiencies in this game that annoy me.
Sure. Like
the inaccurate deep ball or any ball that can be inaccurate past 20 yards. But his mobility is something that not even JT has. JT is a pocket passer. JT, you bring that pressure, that pocket collapses, he's going down. He's not going anywhere. He's going to tuck the ball and hope for the best. Stetson has shown on multiple occasions throughout this year that he can get ghost if he needs to. If he needs to make a throw on a run, he can do that. If he needs to be rolled outside the pocket, he can do that. If he needs to scramble for a first down, he's willing to lower the pads and do that.
Yeah. Like,
there is nothing wrong with what Stetson been in as a starting college football quarterback. I got to profess that.
Yeah, sure. Like, but then that's the thing, too, is people, you know, like, oh, well, he might not transfer to the next level. It's like, I don't care about the next level. This is Saturday, not Sunday. I don't care about
exactly.
Sunday. My job is not to talk about Sunday. My job is to talk about Saturday. And right now, Stetson converts super well on Saturdays. Right?
Yep.
Is he flashy? No.
No.
Are any of his numbers going to stand out? No.
No.
But what does the kid do? He protects the ball, and he makes the right throws, and he wins. Does he annoy people? Sure. Game managers are always going to annoy people. Ask any Alabama fan what they thought of Greg McElroy during his run. They hated him.
AJ McCarron.
Yeah, he was boring. They didn't like him. He didn't push the ball down the field. But you know what Greg McElroy has? A ring. You know what AJ McCarron has? A ring. Like, there's something to be said for people that are game managers in the right system that fits everything they want to do. And Stetson fits what Georgia needs to do this year while JT's still coming back. And when JT gets healthy, will JT beat out Stetson? Probably. Will he throw the ball downfield better? Probably.
Yeah.
But you're fine where you are. Anyways, I don't know. That was a rant. That was a side note. Yeah, you guys just beat the piss out of Missouri, man.
There's really no reason for me to watch that game at all.
Literally none. Tennessee had a fun game. We played more than you guys did. In that sense, in the sense of actually needing to.
Tell us about it.
Tennessee goes on the road in Lexington and knocks off Kentucky. a massive win. Mark Stoops is 2-7 against the University of Tennessee, and that includes four different head coaches since Mark Stoops has taken over at Kentucky. Tennessee has had four head coaches, and he's 2-7 against them. We came out, we scored on the very first play of the game. And after that, it was both teams' offenses worked exactly how you thought they were going to. Kentucky destroyed us on the ground, could do anything they wanted to. They could pick up 8 yards whenever they felt like picking up 8 yards. We made Will Levis look like a Heisman candidate, which, I mean, is really annoying. Our defense couldn't tackle. We were playing good defense. We just couldn't wrap up or tackle when we got there, which was super great. Oh, Connor, throw that in there. Thank you. AJ McGarren has 2 rings. Great. That helps my point even more. Thank you, Connor. He also says, hey, Cam and JB. Hey, Connor.
What up, though?
Rodriguez runs for 109 yards. Rodriguez is such a fun running back to watch. You guys didn't get to see much of him because your defense stops everybody. But Rodriguez is actually a really fun running back to watch. He's one of those dudes that hits you and falls forward. He does not fall sideways. He does not fall backwards. He hits people and he falls forward, which, JB, you know, as somebody who played on the defensive side of the ball on multiple levels of football, is the most annoying thing you can come across. Absolutely. Is a running back that always falls forward.
It's like no matter how hard you smack him, no matter how you try to wrap up or try to angle him, it's like it's that little bit of extra. A little bit of extra effort, and you really can't account for it. You really can't do much to stop it. It just is what it is.
So annoying. Dude,
you got to take them down a little bit further behind the line if you can to account for the fact that you know they're going to fall forward.
God, man, it pissed me off. Basically, the big headlines of the game are the SEC officiating crew, I will say and admit this, absolutely missed a blatant face mask call that Tennessee made on Levis, the Kentucky quarterback, on the last possession of the game. Well, Kentucky's last possession of the game. It was 3rd and 26 or 3rd and 20 or something like that. It was a face mask that led to a sack. The face mask was, if I can channel my inner Stephen A. Smith, egregious, laughable, other three-syllable words.
Mr. Stephen A.
The SEC actually those refs just completely missed it. I don't know how they missed it, but it was awful. Mark Stoops lights them up from the sidelines. They flag Stoops for what he said to them. So not only did they miss a face mask, but they flagged the coach. So move him back to like 4th and 1 million. Kentucky converts the 4th and 1 million because that's just what the game felt like the whole night. So Tennessee drops 8, right? It's 4th and 26. Tennessee drops 8. Kentucky converted. There's 30 seconds left, something like that. Kentucky's trying to get into field goal range. After the 4th and 26 conversion that Kentucky had, the next 4 plays on 3rd and 4th down, Tennessee brought a 0 blitz. Manned up across and blitzed everybody because they set back and dropped 9 or 8 and got blown up for it. And Banks, our defensive coordinator, made the switch. 3rd and 4th down to end the games. 0 blitz across the board. Beautiful to watch. Great play call. Basically, what it boils down to is Tennessee had the ball for 13 minutes and scored 45 points. Mm. What that also means is our defense was on the field for 47 minutes, which, again, JB is somebody who played on the defensive side of the ball. Not terribly fun for you.
No, not at all.
Defensive players not feeling it that particular evening. But it was fun. We won. I yelled a lot at the computer as I was watching the game. That's probably the most emotional, not emotional in the sense of like I cried, but just emotion that came out of me that watching a game that I will probably have all year, pending who we get in the bowl game.
Well, you might cry on Saturday, but
that's very possible.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. That's segment three. Connor says if Tennessee wins, JB should have to wear Vols gear next stream. Here's the reason. First off, Connor, let me go back and say this. Incredible thought. I would love that. The problem is, the other side of that is, if Tennessee loses, I have to wear Georgia gear. And there's no way I'm ever wearing Georgia gear. So I can't make that I can't make that bet in good faith, because if Tennessee loses, then I won't wear Georgia gear. I just won't do it.
So let me get this straight.
Yeah.
Georgia as a state is good enough for you to lay your head down and sleep,
yeah,
but not good enough for you to wear.
Yeah.
Like on your person.
Well, the university now. The state of Georgia, I've got a couple states of Georgia t-shirts I'll wear. Okay. I bought my Stone Mountain t-shirt when I was in the souvenir shop, I'll have you know. JB, probably the biggest game of the weekend. Two really big games. Purdue beats Michigan State.
Oh.
That was insane. Somebody came up with a stat. I don't know exactly what it is, but basically the stat is Purdue has a better win percentage unranked versus top 10 teams than they do against any team when they're ranked. So, like, jeez. Purdue can't win to be good, but they can beat these top 10 teams when they're not good at all. It's
they are the literal other crab in the bucket.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. It's amazing. But Purdue beats Michigan State. Huge loss for Michigan State, especially coming off the big win against Michigan. Michigan State's running back, Kenneth Walker, you know, they're trying to get him some Heisman love, you know, as they should. He's a heck of a running back. And then you go into Purdue and lose, and not only lose, but lose bad. It was not like Purdue hit a last-second shot. Michigan State lost by 11, and by most counts of the game, it was not that close.
Mm.
Did you get a chance to see any of that game, or did you get a chance to – I know you were cooking out last weekend, so I don't know if you got a chance to watch any of it.
I watched some of it.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see the finish. But I did hear about it, and I was super caught off guard.
Yeah, I mean, O'Connell, Purdue's quarterback, 40 of 55 for 536 yards.
Because it's been a recurring gag this year. Like, oh, Purdue's playing a top team. They're going to knock them off. And it struck again. Like, maybe this is not a joke.
Maybe not. We'll see again. Purdue gets Ohio State this weekend. So we'll see. Yeah, God, that's going to be an interesting one. Other big one in the ACC, Wake Forest falls. No longer the only undefeated team in the ACC.
Lord, that one.
They fall to Mac Brown's Fighting Tar Heels.
Who lost tonight as of this recording.
Yeah, who lost tonight as of this recording. That's such a Mac Brown thing to do, though. I'm going to lose the game that I should win, and I'm going to win the game that everybody counts me out of when my team's bad enough.
And that they're 5-4 now, I believe.
Yeah. Well, they were 5-4 as of last weekend. Now they're 5-5.
Right.
But North Carolina goes crazy. Ty Chandler, Tennessee transfer, 22 carries, 213 yards on the ground and 4 touchdowns. Some say Ty Chandler is still running with the ball, even as we record this. I'll tell you this. Ty Chandler had 3 less rushing yards than Sam Howell had passing yards.
Mm.
That's how much Ty Chandler ran for.
He's almost as good as Trubisky. That's why.
Well, there we go. Hartman for Wake Forest had an incredible game. Throws for 400 yards, 5 touchdowns, overcomes 2 picks that he threw. That game was absolutely wild, man.
He's not been one to turn the ball over at all this year. So him having two picks at all.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And Harmon's been
he had two. How many did he have going into this game?
I think you're right. I think it was something. It was a low number from what I remember.
Stupid low number.
Yeah, man. That was a crazy game. TCU beats Baylor. Sorry, Tony, if you're listening to this, we kind of have to throw it out there. That was a tough one, man. Baylor needed that win. They get Oklahoma this weekend. You beat TCU. You're a one-loss team hosting Oklahoma. Game day is there. It's under the lights, that kind of thing, and just couldn't get it done, which I told Tony and JB, there's a theory that is going around that I subscribe to since I can remember watching sports.
Okay.
When a bad team fires their coach, they're almost guaranteed to win the next game.
Almost guaranteed.
It's almost a guarantee across any sport that when a team fires their coach, they win the next game, especially when the coach is terrible. Or they're in a rut with that coach, which Gary Patterson is not a terrible coach. But right. TCU was in a rut with them. And I told Tony, I was like, listen, man, there's a thing. It happens a lot. And I'm worried about it. And I unfortunately was correct. TCU gets the W over Baylor. Connor, the wide receiver Bell is going to be a problem for defenses. Absolutely. That was going back to Purdue. I believe David Bell, the receiver out of Purdue, just a gnarly game, 200 yards when it mattered, against Michigan State. He shows up against ranked teams, man. They played Iowa early in the year and beat him when Iowa was number two. He had 240 yards. They play Michigan State, who was number three. He has 217 yards. Like, this dude knows exactly where the camera is when the lights are on. It's insane to watch him play. But yeah, man, this last weekend was interesting, and the implications really came out on the college football rankings.
Yeah. You want to get to that now?
Yeah, I was just going to say the college football committee told us at the beginning of this that they're going to put a massive emphasis on head-to-head matchups, which made a lot of sense week one. Their initial rankings, you could see it clear as day. Oklahoma State was ahead of Baylor. Michigan State was ahead of Michigan. Oregon was ahead of Ohio State. It made a lot of sense when they said we're going to put a big emphasis on head to head, and then they released their rankings. Week one made a lot of sense. Week two, throw everything out the window. Doesn't matter. We're throwing stuff at walls.
Yeah, clearly. With Michigan State's loss, of course, they drop out. They drop down. Everybody else essentially moves up. Oklahoma stays pat.
Oklahoma is getting screwed, and I don't know if it's that I don't know if it's that they just know in the back of their mind they can always play the OU card if they go undefeated, but it's weird knowing that Cincinnati is getting this much more love than an undefeated OU team. Right. I would have never thought that.
Because they're five now.
Yes, they moved up.
Yeah.
After a close win over – they had to – it was ugly. It was ugly for a while.
I really do hope that Cincinnati makes it in by the end of all this. I feel a screw job coming. Which is very fortuitous because yesterday was the anniversary of the Montreal screw job.
Yes.
So
there we go.
Hopefully Cincinnati gets their flowers and they don't get screwed over. But the fix might be in.
It might be. I don't understand how Oklahoma isn't getting the love that they deserve, because it's really, it's two different teams, right? Like, this Oklahoma team right now is being ranked and judged based on the team that they were when Spencer Rattler was the quarterback.
Yes.
And now Williams is the quarterback, and he's paying for the sins of Spencer Rattler and how bad he played and how mad Oklahoma looked, even though they were winning, which, you know, winning is winning, right?
Winning is winning.
But the fact that this OU team is 8 is shocking to me. I don't get it. And the thing I don't get more than that probably is Michigan is ahead of Michigan State. Michigan State loses to Purdue, the top 5 killer, apparently, is what they are now. And I get that. But they beat Michigan 2 weeks ago. It wasn't a month and a half ago. It wasn't week one of the season when everybody was trying to figure themselves out. Michigan State won 2 weeks ago, and Michigan is already ranked ahead of them. So head-to-heads just apparently don't mean anything anymore.
They say bump these rules, man.
Yeah, it's crazy, dude. It's absolutely crazy. Like, Bama's still number 2. They didn't move. Georgia's locked in at number 1, so we're never going to have to worry about that.
Dang.
Mm-hmm. Word. Georgia's locked in at number 1. Alabama's locked in at number 2.
Yeah.
Listen, man. I'm with you. It's so strange to me. Notre Dame's at 9. Notre Dame at 9 is just like, there's 3 teams that always benefit from the college football rankings. It's Alabama, Ohio State, and Notre Dame. Those 3 teams just get to walk through stuff.
Now, what if Notre Dame loses to Virginia this weekend? Is that it? We're done with them?
They'll go from 9 to 12 because it's Notre Dame. This Notre Dame team, okay, here are the 8 teams above Notre Dame, right? Georgia, Bama, Oregon, Ohio State, Cincinnati, Michigan, Michigan State, Oklahoma. Notre Dame would get washed by all of those teams.
Indeed.
I mean, they
already lost to Cincinnati.
They already lost to Cincinnati. Cincinnati would be the closest game they would play, and Cincinnati beat them by 8. Other team would probably beat them by 10 or more. Oklahoma, Ohio State, even Bama and Georgia. God, Georgia beat them by 30.
You're being nice.
I am being nice. But, like, just Notre Dame just continues to just hang around areas that they don't belong, right? It's like the weird guy that knows the club owner, so he gets all the perks, but you just know he doesn't belong there. I don't get it, man.
I don't get it either.
That's my soapbox, though. Oklahoma State at 10 is interesting. Wake Forest only drops to 12. I thought they were going to drop further. I thought Baylor was going to drop further than 13. I was actually really shocked that they only fell to 13.
That makes 2 of us, especially compared to how other teams, not Bama, have dropped when they've lost.
Yes, very true. Very true. Very, very true. And I mean, the love at number 23 for UTSA. I mean, come on. How exciting is that? UTSA in the college football playoff top 25 rankings. You got to love it.
I like it. It's just,
yeah,
I like it for them.
Sure.
I mean, it's a feather in the cap.
Yeah, absolutely.
But will you get there? No.
No.
Do you really belong there? No.
Yeah.
But, you know, kudos to you for making it this far.
Absolutely. If they went out and go undefeated, they'll get into the top 15. which will be the highest they'll have ever been ranked ever as a team.
And then they'll say that they're the uncrowned champions and stuff. And then Georgia will be like, we'll bring it then. And they'll go quiet.
Well, if you guys went out, then UTSA can't hang the banner, because the only reason UCF hung the banner was because they were the only undefeated team that year. Which, there's just so many things. There are just so many things generally wrong with the UCF fan base. But the banner is number one. The banner is. There was a guy that was trying to trash talk some UCF, some USF fans, mm-hmm. basically saying, like, when UCF leaves the American, these are all of the accolades that are going with them. And it was a side-by-side comparison of what UCF has accomplished up until this point and what USF has accomplished up until this point. And the UCF fan actually had the audacity to start with the 2017 national championship banner that they won. That was the first bullet of his argument. And I was like, dude, listen, man, I will never drink that Kool-Aid, but God, I'm so glad that it tastes good to you. Like, I'm happy that you think that Kool-Aid tastes so good, because UCF fans are some of the most delusional fans you will ever come across.
I mean, are you sure they're Saints fans here in Georgia?
They might be Saints fans. It's the same color scheme. Like, UCF fans just might be Saints fans. I don't really know.
Dante Culpepper isn't coming through the tunnel. Chill out.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. But, yeah, I don't know. I can't say much. That banner was hung when my current coach was there. So, I don't know how he feels about it. We haven't asked him. But yeah, UCF fans completely delusional in every way. I don't know what we were talking about, how we got there, but we're there. Pitt at 21. Pitt wins tonight. They beat UNC. Spoiler alert. So Pitt will move to 8-2. Depending on who's around them, is San Diego State, Iowa, and Purdue. Purdue is 6-3 and ranked 19, just below Wisconsin and Auburn. Both, all three teams, 6-3, all three ranked 17, 18,
19. Now, this is about quality wins this year. Purdue's got to be in the conversation for being near the top.
Have to be. They beat Iowa when they were number two. They beat Michigan State when they were number three. Imagine if they beat Ohio State this weekend. Imagine. I would almost want to put Purdue in the top four.
Now, let's just say they do. You said you would want to.
Yeah.
But could you commit to that? Would you do it for real if it was up to you? Do you think that's enough?
Would I vote Purdue in the top four if they beat Michigan State and Ohio State in back-to-back weeks?
Yes.
1,000% I would.
Now, do you think the unbiased committee would do the same thing?
Oh, no, never. They might crack. So yeah, they might crack the top 10.
At the very least, they should, especially depending on how everything else shakes out, of course.
They're 19 now. They wouldn't even make it into the top 10. They'd move them up to probably like 13. I don't know.
It's weird. Quality wins, though. That's three of them we can name.
Three of them things.
And they don't come easy. They don't just grow on trees.
I know. That would be three of them things for Purdue. Shout out to Chef Trez. Okay, moving on. I think we have to get to segment three.
Okay. Let's get this over with.
And segment three is going to be we're going to have a sponsor for this segment. I feel like it's probably the most appropriate sponsor we could have. Segment three is brought to you by our friends at Drizzly.
Of course.
The alcohol delivery. Log on to the website. Go to the URL that you see underneath the scrolling banner. Head over to tinyurl.drizzlys. What in the world? tinyurl.com/drizzly ST. Oh no, I'm sorry. That's an old one. We're going to this one. It's a bit.ly link, bit.ly/drizzlystsi. For those of you listening to us on podcast, we thank you for listening to us. That's bit.ly/drizzlystsi. That's drizzly with one Z, not two. They're the alcohol delivery company. You log on to the website, you pick your beer, your wine, your spirit, your liquor, whatever you want, your mixers if you need those as well. And you place your order and it's delivered to you. JB, you can load up. You never have to leave the couch. So these are our friends over at Drizzly. I feel like maybe this is probably a good segment to be sponsored by them for one of us in this conversation. JB, this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee's homecoming weekend.
homegoing weekend.
You're our homecoming game.
Who scheduled this?
I don't know. I don't really think homecoming games mean anything, anyways. But definitely, this isn't the way to do it. I'm not backing this decision. Tennessee hosts Georgia. It's a CBS game. It's 3:30 kick. Tennessee's going dark mode again. We're wearing the all-black jerseys. We're breaking them out for you, which I feel like is proper. I feel like it's proper to do that. Here's why. It's the number one team in the country. It's a conference opponent. It's a division rival. You have to treat this like the biggest stage you can possibly treat it.
And also your funeral.
Sure, and it's also our funeral, which is probably pretty accurate. But I feel like you have to treat this game with the magnitude it deserves to be treated with. And this is a huge game for us. We're coming off the win against Kentucky. We have a little bit of momentum going into this game, which is very tempered, very tempered. Not momentum like we're going to win, but I think we're more interested in this game now than where we were, say, 4 weeks ago. Definitely before the beginning of the year. Before the beginning of the year, it was like, good Lord, just let us get through that week uninjured. Like, just let us get through healthy, dear Lord. And now I think we're to the point where we have some level of confidence in that we think we can be the team that gives you the most trouble offensively that you'll see this year, aside from Bama in the SEC title game.
I agree, actually, with that. I think that's what we touched on a couple weeks ago. This Tennessee offense has really bought in, and they've really stepped up. And now you guys are winning games and gaining confidence and starting to smell yourselves a little bit. Number one team, be damned, you should have tempered expectations because you beat your biggest rival. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, Georgia has had a history of not doing so well in Knoxville for whatever reason.
Yeah. I wasn't going to bring that up. I was going to let you bring it up. I also went back and forth on if I should pull the clip of the Hail Mary, but I decided not to.
I decided
not to do that. There will be no clip of the Hail Mary being played here.
Ever.
I won't play it. But going into this game on your end, you are just beating the piss out of everybody you play. Right. It's just like it's a joke at this point.
See.
Is there any worry of the history that Mark Richt and his predecessor Kirby Smart have of not being able to get through a season unscathed?
All right, I'm gonna knock on wood here.
I'll do that for you as a sign of Solidarity.
The hope is that, well, if we beat the tar rat, it would be the tar. If we don't, whatever. But the most important thing outside of winning is that we come away from this game healthy. Because we've had ACL tears, like appearances by turf monsters, separated shoulders, yada, yada, yada. Just freak injuries happened over the last few years playing at Tennessee when we had to go up there. So aside from winning, whether it's by an inch or a mile, the biggest concern is can we like come away from this healthy? This is our last test. After this, there's nothing we have left to worry about until the SEC championship game. Like, we pretty much coast the rest of the way. Like, if you're going to play JT and just let him get acclimated and let him get some reps going, if that's the guy you want going to the SEC championship game against Alabama, then you get your tune-up games for the next few weeks after this. But this is serious business because your offense has proven they can do a lot in a hurry, and your quarterback is playing pretty damn good. So come away healthy, of course, get the win, and let's just get out of it. Just get the dub and get moving.
Mm-hmm. So there was a question that somebody posed online. There were two questions. One was, as a Georgia fan, would you rather have Stetson Bennett or Hendon Hooker right now? and I think that's a really interesting question. And I don't say that as like, whatever, like, I don't care. But I thought that was a very interesting question, especially because JT isn't completely healthy, right? So his state is still where it is. If you could swap jerseys right now, would you take Hendon Hooker over Stetson Bennett?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't.
That's fine. I don't really care what the answer is. I just thought it was a really interesting premise.
I mean, it's not an indictment on Hooker why I wouldn't. Stetson has been proving himself to be viable in his office for now, like 2 years almost.
Sure.
So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Mm-hmm. I mean, are we flashing? Are we lighting everything up scoreboards? Like with yards? And is he like one of the top five passers in the nation? No. But he doesn't have to be. That's not the way his team is built. And it's okay. Would having Hooker be nice? Sure. Would it help offensively? Would it give us a boost offensively? Probably. But for what this team to succeed to get to where we need to go, is that necessary? No. It's fine.
I'm with you. Again, I was just curious. Because there were a couple of Georgia fans that said they would, just to let you know.
I'm sure. I mean, Stetson doesn't have, like, the ultimate faith among the Georgia faithful, myself included.
That's fair. The other thing was somebody asked, because everybody's coming into this game interested in what Tennessee can do. Nobody thinks Tennessee's going to win, right? Like, the delusional side of Tennessee fans are like, you know, what? Here's where I am. We're going to lose. But if Georgia historically is going to screw up one game, why not us? And that's where I am. We're going to lose, but if for some reason you guys decide to absolutely shit the bed, why not do it against us? We're the next one up. Like, why not us? You know what I mean? But somebody asked a really interesting question. They said, what are the maximum amount of points you could see Tennessee scoring, and what are the minimum amount of points you could see Tennessee scoring? And I answered this question, but I'm curious to see your thoughts. If Tennessee figured some stuff out, what is the max amount of points you could see us scoring on you guys this weekend where you would think, yeah, a couple things broke that way, that kind of makes sense?
17.
Okay. What would be the minimum amount of points where you're like, we're banging on all cylinders and they just can't figure it out?
6.
Okay. So the creepy thing is that's exactly where I had us too. I said our maximum range is anywhere between 17 to 20, right?
Right.
We run Heupel is really good at running bunch formations, and there is a chance that at some point we can get one of your DBs turned around, get a wide receiver over the top, and get a quick score. We've been doing it all year. To say we couldn't do it against – or to say we could do this against you guys, I don't think is too far-fetched. But the other side is, if the Georgia defense shows up that's been showing up all year and you guys are just like, yeah, actually, you're not going to do any of that, we could score 0 points. I have our maximum points scored between 17 and 20. I think we get some deep shots. If we scored 17, I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be elated. I don't care if we gave up 50. If we score 17 points against you guys, I'm doing dances like we won the title. But on the minimum side, I also think that if you guys show up and you're like, you guys aren't doing anything, we probably score anywhere from 0 to 6.
Yeah. And that's his defense, and that's the way it's been all year. You can't really count them out. This is really venturing into historic territory here. All-time territory.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely.
Like, yes. Things could easily fall apart going forward, sure. Is it likely? No.
No.
But if there was going to be a breakdown somewhere, if there was going to be a chink in the armor defensively that could be exposed in the passing game, this could be it. But also keeping in mind, this is the second best pass defense in the nation. And I say second because that's where they're ranked, but we know what the deal is. They're giving up 151.9 yards a game to passes.
That's nothing in college football.
Which is nothing at all. And
yeah, you guys are effectively allowing 40 yards a quarter to be put up on you. Which is stupid.
Nuts.
It's stupid.
That's nuts.
Yeah. It's dumb.
And it's not even 40. It's like 36, 37 point something.
Yeah. It's stupid.
It's nuts.
It is. I completely agree with you. The other thing, too, is like everybody knows this, right? Regardless of if you play a team sport, the one side of the ball that travels, defense. Defense travels. And you guys have a pretty good one that I fully expect to get off the bus in Knoxville on Saturday.
I fully expect for the offense, your Tennessee offense, to get some, maybe rip off some chunks, at least pretty early on.
Yeah.
Like, pull the wool over our eyes, get us turned around, get us with a little razzle-dazzle to start off. And then, you know, after the first 15, you know what to expect, or you have a solid idea of what you think you can and can't get away with, and adjustments are made. I think after that first quarter or so, we're going to find out what's really good.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree with you on that. Tennessee is yet to lose a first quarter this year. We have been winning or tied with every team out after the first quarter. I will be interested to see, and part of that is our ability to get out on fast starts, right? First play, 75-yard touchdown, see the first quarter of Missouri, see the first quarter of South Carolina, see the first quarter of Alabama and Florida. We were tied. We were right there with them. I will be interested to see if we can do that one more time, especially against Georgia. Could we be up 7-0 at the end of the first quarter? I don't know. Could it be 7-7 at the end of the first quarter and we're tied and we're stride for stride with you guys? Maybe. I don't know. Be very interested to see if that happens. I think your offense will ultimately be able to lean on our defense. With us right now, I mean, going into week 11, everybody knows the one thing you need once you start getting into 8, 9, 10, 11th week, 12th week is depth. And that's what you need in this league. And we just don't have it And everybody knows it. It's not even the elephant in the room. Everybody knows it. And our guys talk about it every week. We talk about our lack of depth. So it's not anything we're trying to hide. It's not anything everybody doesn't know about. I just think eventually your offense will just be able to lean on us. And like you said, early in the game, first quarter, second quarter, our guys will be hyped. We'll have some extra juice in the tank. We'll be around. I don't know if we'll be stopping you guys, but we'll be around. We'll be flying around.
It's homecoming, right?
Yeah. And we'll be flying around. We'll be juiced up. We'll be good. But when the third quarter hits and the fourth quarter hits and we need the third down lineman to make a play, the third down lineman is most likely a walk-on at this point. The play is probably not going to be made. And it's
He's going to get smashed.
Of course, he's going to. And that's just where we are right now. And we just recognize it. So I think it'll be a lot like the Alabama game. I think it'll play out very similarly to that. Obviously, I think your defense is better, but just in the sense of like, I think we'll get a shot off. I think we'll get a wide receiver behind your defensive back. And we'll score a big touchdown and the place will go nuts. And I think that'll happen at least once. And on Saturday, I think we can do that. I think we're smart enough to manufacture a play like that.
Absolutely.
I don't think we're going to do it multiple times, but I think we could do it once.
You got at least one gun in you.
Yeah, absolutely. Just one bullet. That's it. That's all we need to see. Because if we score one touchdown, we're scoring more than what you're averaging. And that in itself is a win. So yeah. Like one touchdown is good enough for me, honestly. But having said that, we talked about both sides of the ball. What's your prediction for the game? What do you think? Who's winning? What's the score?
Of course, Georgia's winning. If I had to put a number on it, I said 17 is the high. I think you can match that. So I want to say 17-37.
So we're actually pretty close. I think Georgia's winning. I'm not delusional. I'm delusional, but I'm not that crazy.
Thank God. That makes this easier on me.
I think we can get to 17. God, I would love if we scored 17 points. Because, again, just the progression from where we were week one, right? We thought we were going to be a 4-win team. We have a chance to win 7. If we beat you guys this weekend, which would be a miracle from multiple heavens, we'd win 8. And nobody in their right mind thought we would be staring at 7 wins. You know, most everybody in the country thought we were going to win 4 games, which was not crazy at the time. So for us to go from, hey, you're going to be a 4-win team to, hey, you put up 17-20 on the best defense in the country. Yeah, sign me up for that. From where we are right now, sure, sign me up. Yeah. So I have you guys winning 42-17. Again, I think it plays out a lot like the Bama game. I think we make Stetson look a lot better than he is. I think Stetson turns from game manager to gunslinger because we have a tendency to do that with quarterbacks. I think your fan base will fall a little bit more in love with him based on how he'll be able to throw the ball around against us.
No, he's going to throw some ducks too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he'll throw some ducks I'm not going to say he's perfect, but I think he'll throw for – I don't know what his career high in passing yards is, but he'll probably get close.
A couple of wobbly ducks in the air.
The only way we beat you guys is there a world where we could win? Sure. I don't know how far away that world is from where we are right now, but it probably, to say it doesn't exist would be a little crazy, but it's far, 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 far away in a galaxy. But for what? Us, I think so. There's a world that it exists. I didn't say we're going to do it. Okay? Take it down a notch, man. I'm not one of those Tennessee fans trying to tell you that you're going to lose. There's a world that exists. Could you see Stetson Bennett throw 3 really bad balls on Saturday?
I guarantee you'll see at least three bad throws. Whether they're even if they're not picked, even if it's wobbly or he gets bailed out, I can see three bad ones.
Okay, we both agree with that. He's going to make probably three bad throws. The only way we win is if those three bad throws convert immediately into touchdowns. And just switch the game. That's it. It won't happen. It's not going to happen. I need you to hear that part. But if we were to win, we have to convert the three terrible throws that Stetson Bennett is going to make. We would have to convert into touchdowns. And that's the only way, and I just don't see it happening.
Fair.
That's it. It's not hard. It's never going to happen, but it's not hard to figure out how we'd win. We need Stetson Bennett to throw like four picks, and two of them need to be returned for touchdowns.
But you're also going to get a big dose of Zamir White.
Oh, God, you guys are going to run the ball for a million yards against us on Saturday.
He's got to run the ball for the family now.
Yeah, Stetson might not even throw the ball 20 times, honestly. I mean, I say he could probably throw for his career high. He still probably could. But he probably won't even throw the ball 20 times because you guys will just run the ball on us because your offensive line's so damn good.
Basically.
And you'll just lean on us, and you'll get 7.8 yards per carry for the whole game, and you guys will just run for like 250 yards on us. 100%. That's what's going
to
happen.
We'll get a couple pop passes to Brock Bowers.
Sure. Yeah, you guys will take a couple shots downfield. You'll get it. Yeah,
we get T-Cup involved.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to end. That was a lovely segment. A lot of contention. I hate your team. I hope we win.
Screw you guys.
There it is.
What's a Rocky Top?
Honestly, some days I don't even know. But we're going to end tonight with our picks, our best bets, our hot and ready best bets, because there is nobody better than Little Caesars.
Nobody.
Nobody. Who's better than Little Caesars? Nobody.
Nobody.
These are our best bets, our hot and ready best bets totals. JB, we're 14-7-1 this year on our best bets. Oof. We're like killing it.
We really are.
It's weird.
Amateur luck just coming in.
100%. This is first year luck. And also it helps that we're only doing one game a week too, I think, because if we hit on a couple of those, we look a lot better than we really are.
Yeah.
JB, you hit, so I went back and I had to add in the last 2 weeks, right? So week 9 and week 10. You went 2-0 over the last 2 weeks. I went 1-1. So combined, we went 3-1 over the last 2 weeks, which is huge. Okay. Baylor just completely pooped the bet against Texas. That was mine. We lost that bet. You took Georgia minus 14 over Florida. Great bet. My God, that was such a tough game to watch. It was beautiful. I loved it. Last week I took Tennessee +1 over Kentucky. Nailed it. And then you took Texas A&M -4.5 over Auburn, and Texas A&M won by like 20. So huge. That gets us to 14-7-1 on the year. JB, who is your hot and ready best bet of this weekend?
I'm taking Coastal Carolina over Georgia State, 10.5.
I love it.
Because Georgia State will let me down inevitably.
Yes, and Coastal Carolina is a very good football team.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not Georgia Southern.
Ouch. Hurtful. JB, I'm so excited for what I'm about to tell you, because we're going to be able to set the contention part aside, and you're going to be able to just have a good laugh, which is what I want to do ultimately. I want to make sure you have one quality laugh every week we're on the podcast.
You're such a great partner.
UConn hired a new football coach this week. Did you hear?
I did.
They hired Jim Mora Jr., which I think is a great hire. Here's why. I legitimately think it's a great hire for two reasons. One, Jim Mora Jr. is going to have zero expectation on him to win, possibly even to show up to the office every day. There might be no expectation. I really don't know how UConn football works right now. But Jim Mora is going to be at that school for 7 years before anybody looks up and asks him what's going on. He's going to be there for like 7 years, right? So he's cooling at UConn. He gets back in the game. He gets back into coaching, and he's with an organization that has no expectation. He doesn't have to worry about the struggle. Well, he's going to have to worry about the struggle, but he doesn't have to worry about people breathing down his neck because it's UConn football, and nobody cares about UConn
football. He just wants to be a college football talk so badly.
And UConn gets to say, we made a splash hire by hiring a former NFL coach. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anything other than that statement. Everybody wins, right? We hired Jim Mora's son. We hired a successful NFL and college football coach. Yay us. They get to say that. Jim Mora gets to get back into coaching, and he gets to be around an organization that has no expectation for him and what he's going to do. It's a brilliant hire on both sides, which I enjoy. Having said that, I am taking UConn this weekend to cover on the news of Jim Mora Jr. coming to town, taking over the program. I'm taking UConn plus 41 against Clemson. UConn is getting 41 points against Clemson, and I'm taking UConn to cover all 41 of those points.
What the?
I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, the balls on you.
Thank you.
The grapefruits.
Thank you very much. That's the nicest thing you've ever said.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
UConn plus 41 over Clemson. Book it. It's going to happen. Clemson's going to win like 38-17, and I'm going to laugh.
You know what? I would wear some Tennessee stuff next week if that does happen. If you hit that, I will at the very least rock orange and white.
I didn't make you say it.
At the very least, if you can hit that, just because of the sheer absurdity of it.
Thank you very much. UConn just suck at football right now. God, they're bad. But I'm taking UConn plus 41 on the back of Jim Mora Jr. being hired.
Wow.
And the excitement that will be infused into that program now because he's showing up.
Anything can happen on the walk-on college football dorm room.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know, man. Clemson's 6-3. They're probably going to score. I mean, God, they just don't really put up a lot of points.
They don't.
I mean, it's a home game against UConn. It's a noon kick. Like, this is setting up for UConn to lose by, like, 37. And it'll cover. And it's going to be amazing.
You're a sick man.
Thank you very much.
Sick man.
Thank you very much. I'm so excited. I'm so excited about that. I might actually put real money on that game just for fun. I don't know.
God.
I know. I know. I'm weird. It happens. Anyways, sorry about that. Yeah, so we've got Coastal Carolina minus 10.5 over Georgia State. That is JB's pick. Mine is UConn plus 41 over Clemson because I do questionable things. JB, that's it for us, man. We got through all three segments. We got through the contention. Anything to add at all?
Oh man, we're gonna whoop that ass on Saturday.
That's most likely true. That's a very high probability of it being like 41-10.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I just hope we come out healthy.
What?
I just hope we come out healthy. That's my biggest concern. That is like my number one with a bullet concern.
Whatever happens in the game, I hope both teams come out healthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope both injuries absolutely suck, and I hope both teams come out healthy. But also, you guys always lose one game, and it's going to be to us, and I hate you. There's that.
All righty.
Well,
ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching or listening to us on podcast, There's going to be more quips and there's going to be more shots taken between me and Cam here between now and Saturday and even during the game. We're going to be – it's going to be nonstop sniping.
It really is. Do you want to do like a live watch-along of the first quarter on Saturday?
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Are you doing anything on Saturday? You normally have plans, so I don't know.
We'll figure it out. So I don't think so.
If you want to. We don't have to. Because
I would like to. I know I have something to do on Saturday. I just hope it's not during that time.
Yeah. I don't want to do a whole game because a 3.5 hour watch along is just not what I'm about. But we could do like the first 15 minutes. We could do like the first quarter.
Okay.
Something like that. But yeah, I'm not doing 3.5 hours. We can do the first
quarter. Got it. Okay.
All right, man. Well, please check out my buddy JB. JB, where can the people find you?
All right. The people can find me at JB versus the world on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. I dropped my Eternals review last week. So if you like the Eternals, or you like that, want to talk about that Marvel movie, go follow me out over there. This week, I'm talking about Cowboy Bebop and the Netflix show that drops next week. You can find me on Twitter at JBVTheWorld because Versus was just too long for Twitter.
There it is. God, I love it. Every time. It's clean. It's buttery smooth every single time. You can find me on Twitter at CMSestuff because that's really where I live and I'm not really anywhere else. There we go. JB, we're out, man. What do we got to say to the people?
Take care of yourselves and each other.
Peace.